ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। I am honored once again to offer my pranams and salutations to all listening in. I am humbled by given the opportunity to share a summary of chapter 14 of the Bhagavad Gita on the occasion of the Gita Jayanti celebrations this year. Once again, my heartfelt thanks to the management committee of the Gita Ashram for giving me this opportunity. My name is Ramesh Kumar and I will be covering the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is also known as Guruna Traya Vibhaya Yoga, which relates to the three modes of material nature. In chapter 13, verse 22, it was stated that the three modes of material nature are the means through which the spirit soul is entangled within this material nature. Why is the spirit soul shackled? What are these three modes that have shackled the spirit soul within the realm of material nature? How can the spirit soul be unshackled so that it may transcend the three modes and be liberated from material energy? These very pertinent questions are answered in this very enlightening chapter. We will be covering concepts relating to circumstances that have led to the conditioning of the spirit soul to material world, as well as what needs to be done to enable the deconditioning of the soul from material nature to occur. In summary, the main areas we will cover are from verse 1 to 13, the material conditioning of the soul, verse 14 to 20, description of the three modes. In the context of the following: 1. What actions do people take when conditioned by these three modes? 2. What are the results of taking such actions? 3. What happens to them when they die? 4. What is their ultimate destination? And the most important question, 5. How can living entities be free from birth, death, old age, and disease? From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbling developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that this is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now, in this chapter, the Supreme Personality explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, and how they bind and how they give liberation. It has been stated in verse 2 that by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature, which is like my own nature. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation nor disturbed at the time of dissolution. What this means is, after acquiring perfect transcendental knowledge, one acquires qualitative equality with Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. One does not, however, lose his identity as an individual soul. It is understood from Vedic literature that the liberated souls who have reached the transcendental planets of the spiritual sky always look to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, being engaged in his transcendental loving service. So, even after liberation, the devotees do not lose their individual identities. From verse 3 to 5, we are enlightened with the question, why is the spirit soul shackled to material nature? In verse 3, it is stated that the total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and that it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, all sons of Bharata. This is an explanation of the world. Everything that takes place is due to the combination of Kshetra and Kshetranya, the body and the spirit soul. The combination of material nature and living entity is made possible by the Supreme God Himself. The Mahatattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation. And because in the total substance of the material cause, there are three modes of nature, it is sometimes called Brahman. The Supreme Personality impregnates that total substance, and thus innumerable universes become possible. In verse 4, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the original father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of the material nature and the spiritual nature. The living entity, because he is transcendental, has nothing to do with material nature. Still, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. So what actions do people take when conditioned by these three modes? In verse 6 to 13, this is explained very clearly. The effect of developing the mode of goodness in the material world is that one becomes wiser than those who otherwise conditioned. A man in the mode of goodness is not so much affected by material miseries, and he has a sense of advancement in material knowledge. The representative type is the Brahmana, who is supposed to be situated in the mode of goodness. This sense of happiness is due to understanding that in the mode of goodness, one is more or less free from sinful reactions. The difficulty here is that when a living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, he becomes conditioned to feel that he is advanced in knowledge and is better than others. In this way, he becomes conditioned. The mode of passion is characterized by the attraction between men and women. Woman has attraction for man, and man has attraction for woman. This is called mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. For sense gratification, a man in the mode of passion wants some honor in society or in the nation, and he wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife, house. These are the products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that he becomes associated with the fruits of his activities and thus becomes bound by such activities. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. Everyone, under the spell of the mode of ignorance, becomes mad. And a madman cannot understand what is what. Instead of making advancement, one becomes degraded. A person in the mode of goodness is satisfied by his work or intellectual pursuit. Just as a philosopher, a scientist, or educator may be engaged in a particular field of knowledge and may be satisfied in that way. A man in the modes of passion and goodness may be engaged in fruitive activity. He owns as much as he can and spends for good causes. But when the mode of passion is prominent, the modes of goodness and ignorance are defeated. When the mode of goodness is prominent, passion and ignorance are defeated. And when the mode of ignorance is prominent, passion and goodness are defeated. This competition is always going on. Therefore, one who is actually intent in developing love for the Lord has to transcend these three modes. The prominence of some certain modes of nature is manifested in many dealings. If one wants, he can develop by practice the mode of goodness and thus defeat the mode of ignorance and passion. One can similarly develop the mode of passion and defeat goodness and ignorance. Or one can develop the mode of ignorance and defeat goodness and passion. In verse 11, the Lord said, "The manifestations of the mode of goodness can be explained when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge." To understand this, we have to realize that there are 9 gates in the body: 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. In every gate, when the symptom of goodness is illuminated, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one can see things in the right position. One can hear things in the right position. One can taste things in the right position. One becomes cleansed inside and outside. In every gate, there is development of the symptom of happiness, and that is the position of goodness. One in the mode of passion is never satisfied with the position he has already acquired. He hankers to increase his position. If he wants to construct a residential house, he tries his best to have a palatial house, as if he will be able to reside in that house eternally. And he develops a great hankering for sense gratification. There is no end to sense gratification. He always wants to remain with his family and his house and to continue the process of sense gratification. There is no cessation for this. All these symptoms should be understood as characterized of the mode of passion. When there is no illumination, knowledge is absent. One in the mode of ignorance does not work by a regulative principle. He wants to act whimsically for no purpose. Even though he has the capacity to work, he makes no endeavor. This is called illusion. Although consciousness is going on, life is inactive. These are the symptoms of one in the mode of ignorance. So we've discussed the symptoms of people in the different modes, modes of goodness, modes of passion, and modes of ignorance. The next two verses, verse 14 and 15, describes what happens to them when they die. In verse 14, it is stated, when one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets. One in goodness attains higher planetary systems like Brahmaloka or Jnanaloka, and there he enjoys godly happiness. There he is free from the modes of passion and ignorance. There are impurities in the material world, but the modes of goodness is the purest form of existence in the material world. There are different kinds of planets for different kinds of living entities. Those who die in the mode of goodness are elevated to the planets where great sages and great devotees live. In verse 15, it is stated, when one dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when he dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. Some people have the impression that when the soul reaches the platform of human life, it never goes down again. This is incorrect. According to this verse, if one develops the mode of ignorance after his death, he is degraded to the animal form of life. From there, one has to again elevate himself by evolutionary process to come again to the human form of life. Therefore, those who are actually serious about human life should take to the mode of goodness and in good association transcend the modes and become situated in developing devotional service to the Lord. This is the aim of human life. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that human being will again able to attain the human status. So in these two verses, it's clear what happens when people with different modes die. But what is the result of the actions they are taking? What is the result of engaging in a mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance? This is described clearly in verse 16 and 17. In verse 16, it is stated, by acting in the modes of goodness, one becomes purified. Works done in the mode of passion result in distress, and actions performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. By pious activities in the modes of goodness, one is purified. Therefore, the sages, who are free from all illusion, are situated in happiness. Similarly, activities in the modes of passion are simply miserable. Any activity for material happiness is bound to be defeated. The miseries are there. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita says that in any activity performed under the spell of the mode of passion, there is definitely great misery. As far as the mode of ignorance is concerned, the performer is without knowledge, and therefore all his activities result in present misery. And afterwards, he will go on toward animal life. Animal life is always miserable, although under the spell of illusory energy, Maya, animals do not understand this. In verse 17, it stated, from the modes of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the modes of passion, grief develops. And from the modes of ignorance, foolishness, madness and illusion develops. When the mode of goodness is developed, people will see things as they are. In the mode of ignorance, people are just like animals and cannot see things clearly. In the mode of ignorance, for example, they do not see that by killing one animal, they are taking the chance of being killed by the same animal in the next life. Because people have no education in actual knowledge, they become irresponsible. To stop this irresponsibility, education for developing the mode of goodness of the people in general must be there. Verse 18 and 19 describes what is their ultimate destination. In verse 18, it is stated that those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. In this verse, the results of actions in the three modes of nature are more explicitly set forth. There is an upper planetary system consisting of the heavenly planets where everyone is highly elevated according to the degree of development of the modes of goodness. The living entity can be transferred to various planets in this system. The highest planet is Satyaloka or Brahmaloka, where the prime person of this universe, Lord Brahma, resides. We have already seen that we can hardly calculate the wondrous conditioning of life in Brahmaloka, but the highest condition of life, the mode of goodness, can bring us to this. The mode of passion is mixed. It is in the middle between the modes of goodness and ignorance. A person is not always pure, but even if he should be purely in the mode of passion, he will simply remain on this earth as a king or rich man. But because they are mixtures, one can also go down. People on this earth, in the modes of passion or ignorance, cannot forcibly approach the higher planets by machine. In this mode of passion, there is also the chance of becoming mad in the next life. The lowest quality, the mode of ignorance, is described here as abdominal. The result of developing ignorance is very, very risky. It is the lowest quality in material nature. Beneath the human level, there are 8 million species of life, birds, bees, reptiles, trees, etc. And according to the development of the mode of ignorance, people are brought down to these abdominal conditions. In verse 19, it is stated that one can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding it properly, by learning from proper souls. The real spiritual master is Lord Krishna, and he is imparting the spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of material modes of nature. He is helpless, being in the grip of these modes, but when he sees his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Now, from the last few verses, verse 20 onwards, we begin to gain answers about how can living entities be free from birth, death, old age, and disease. In verse 20, the Lord informs Arjuna that when the embodied being is being able to transcend these three modes, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. How one can stay in this transcendental position, even in this body, is explained in this verse. The Sanskrit word dehi means embodied. Although one is within this material body, by his advancement in spiritual knowledge, he can be free from the influence of the modes of nature. He can enjoy the happiness of spiritual life even in this body, because after leaving this body, he is certainly going to the spiritual sky. But even in this body, he can enjoy spiritual happiness. In other words, devotional service is a sign of liberation from material engagement. And this will be explained in the 18th chapter. When one is free from influence of the modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service. Then Arjuna inquired, "Oh, my dear Lord, what are the symptoms of one who is in transcendental to these modes? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature?" In this verse, Arjuna's questions are very appropriate. He wants to know the symptoms of a person who has already transcended the material modes. He first inquires of the symptoms of such a transcendental person. How can one understand that he has already transcended the influence of the modes of material nature? The second question asks how he lives and what his activities are. Are they regulated or non-regulated? Then Arjuna inquires of the means by which he can attain that transcendental nature. That is very important. Unless one knows the direct means by which one can be situated always transcendentally, there is no possibility of showing the symptoms. So all these questions put by Arjuna are very important, and the Lord answers them. From verse 22 to 25, it's very clear that answers are being given to the three questions Arjuna submitted. In these verses, Lord Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated neither envies anyone nor hankers for anything. When a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he is actually out of the body, then he is out of clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious of the material body, he acts only for sense gratification. But when one transfers towards devotional service, his sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body, and he does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will act, but as spirit soul, the self is aloof from such activities. The next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. The materially situated person is affected by the so-called honor and dishonor offered to the body, but the transcendentally situated person is not affected by such false honor and dishonor. He performs his devotional duties and does not mind whether a man honors or dishonors him. He accepts things that are favorable for undertaking his duty. Otherwise, he has no necessity of anything material. By such behavior, one becomes actually transcendentally situated. Verse 26 is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining the transcendental position? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the three modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead, be fully engaged in bhakti yoga, always acting for the Lord Krishna. This includes not only Lord Krishna, but his different plenary expansions such as Rama and Narayana. He has innumerable expansions. One who is engaged in the service of any forms of Lord Krishna or his plenary expansions is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should also note that all the forms of Lord Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient, and they possess all transcendental qualities. So if one engages himself in the service of Lord Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination. Although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, he can overcome them easily. In the final verse, verse 27, the Lord said, "And I am the basis of this impersonal Brahman, which is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness, and which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal." The constitution of Brahman is immortality, imperishability, eternity, and happiness. Brahman is the beginning of the transcendental realization. Paramatma, the super soul, is the middle, the second stage in transcendental realization. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, both Paramatma and impersonal Brahman are within the Supreme Person. It has been explained in the seventh chapter that material nature is the manifestation of the inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord impregnates the inferior material nature with fragments of the superior nature, and that is the spiritual touch in the material nature. When a living entity conditioned by this material nature begins the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, he elevates himself from the position of material existence and gradually rises up to the Brahman conception of the Supreme. This attainment of the Brahman conception of life is the first stage in self-realization. At that stage, the Brahman realized person is transcendental to the material position, but he is not actually perfect in Brahman realization. If he wants, he can continue to stay in the Brahman position and then gradually rise to the Paramatma realization and then to the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In summary, there are three modes of material nature that bind the soul to nature. And these three modes are the modes of goodness, sattva, modes of passion, rajas, and the modes of ignorance, tamas. People in the modes of goodness are pious and pure. People in the modes of passion are in a state of misery. And people in a state of tamas are foolish. The result of being in a state of goodness is the accumulation of real knowledge. The result of being in a state of rajas is greed, and the result of being in a state of ignorance is madness and illusion. At the time of death, those in a state of goodness reach higher planets, those in a state of goodness reach planets engaged in fruitive activities, and those in a state of ignorance reach the animal kingdom. So we have a gradual upward destination for those who are in the state of goodness, a downward destination of those in the state of ignorance, and a lateral movement for those in the state of passion. In order to transcend these modes of natural nature, one needs to be engaged in devotional service and be dedicated in the platform of Brahman realization, which is the first stage of liberation, followed by Paramatma realization, and finally reaching the realization of the Supreme Personality of God. We must always remember that as long as the three modes exist, the soul will always remain shackled within material nature. This being the case, the chance of liberation of the soul is impossible, unless by his mercy and by his grace, it becomes possible to transcend these modes. Thank you very much for listening in. I hope you found this useful, and I hope that I'll continue in whatever capacity I can to help determine summaries of ongoing lectures or chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.